What does it mean to find our fulfillment in Him and His purposes? And in the context of that, we are sharing this morning around building God's house. And of course, when we talk about building God's house, we're not talking about a physical house. God's house is not a physical place, but it's the people that come together to worship Him. That is God's house. God's house does not primarily exist with physical things, but it's really the people that come together to worship Him. The church in itself is not defined by the buildings, but it's defined by the people. That is God's house. That is the church. It's the body of believers that come together, which we are so familiar with. And we are here today at this church, but this building is not... The church is not the building that we meet in. The church is the people that we meet with. There is a role for the physical structures that we meet in and the things that we use. But that in itself are not to define who we are. And I want us to quickly turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. If you have your Bible with you, please turn there with me. 2 Peter 2 from verse 4 to 5, we read the following. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then Jesus asked him again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord. I love you. Jesus said, tend to my sheep. And then Jesus asked him a third time, Peter, do you really love me? And Peter had nothing else to say, but yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know, God, that I love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. God, I love you. And Jesus' response was, feed my sheep. Our love for people is an expression of our love for God. So when God calls us to build Him a house, He calls us to build and to invest and to love people. And to walk a road with people to this place where they love God with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, all their strength. You know what? There doesn't come more practical than that. To extend the kingdom of God is to invest in people. Because the kingdom of God is not just about my love for God. It's also about my love for people. Because God loves people. And we cannot say we love God and not love people. Because then we do not know God. And that is the invitation that God made to all of us. When we surrendered our life to Him, is not just to be embraced by Him, but to be changed by Him. So I want to encourage you. One of the measuring rods that I use to see to which extent a congregation has embraced the kingdom of God is how we embrace people that walk through that door. Whether we are excited about people that come in to this place. Because that's a measurement of our love for God and to what extent we have embraced the kingdom and seeking the kingdom first. Because we build God's house with people. And when we get excited about people, that means we are excited about God. We're excited about the kingdom. And I want to commend you guys because you're doing a great job in welcoming people. But I want to also encourage you with that. It doesn't get more practical on a Sunday to extend the kingdom of God than to invest in the people that come through the door. And if we get excited about the people that come to us, you know what? That means we'll be ready to go to the people that's outside. But if we cannot welcome the people and be excited about the people and pray for the people and love the people that comes to us, you know what? It will be very difficult for us to go to the people outside to love them and encourage them and embrace them. And that's why it is so powerful to see how you guys are welcoming people and going out of your way to make people welcome. I want to encourage you with that. But I also want to say it doesn't get more practical than that. Sometimes seeking first the kingdom of God, you know, is such a vague term. It's such an intangible thing to get hold on. But by loving people, by investing yourself in people, that is seeking the kingdom. That is building God a house. So I want to encourage you, when you go to home group, you know what? That is the kingdom. Not the house, not the Wednesday, but the people. And there's nothing greater that you can do than investing yourself in someone else. Because through investing yourself in somebody else, that is how you build God a house. When you walk a road with somebody to bring them closer to God, that is building God a house. Because God is interested only in one thing, that is people. The kingdom of God consists out of living stones, not dead material. It's not about the tithe that you can bring in, it's about the people that you invest yourself in. That is the kingdom of God. So I want to encourage you with that. When you prepare yourself for small group, when you prepare yourself for the week, when you prepare yourself for the Sunday, I want to encourage you to pray in those terms. See stones, living stones. The people next to you, to your left, to your right, behind you, in front of you, these are living stones. You know, the Lord has been speaking a lot to us in this year about building Him a house. And He's speaking a lot to us through the book of Nehemiah, of building a house, giving us the strategy. What does it mean to build God a house? What does it mean to be in the season of building God a house? You know what's so interesting about Nehemiah? When God called him, laid on his heart, the state of the city and the walls that was broken, God gave him favor after much prayer and fasting, coming before God and saying, God, something needs to be done to your city. Something needs to be done. God, I bring myself before you, God, on behalf of this nation, God, and I pour myself out before you. And God blessed him, gave him favor, and the king released him to do an unthinkable thing. To restore the walls. And what did Nehemiah do? He came, he saw, he walked around, he inspected the damage, he saw all the gaps in the walls, and then the first thing that he did is he called all the families and he gave each family a section of the wall. And then he said, I want you to start building in these sections that has been allocated to you. Each family had a portion of the work that needed to be done. And what is even more fascinating, as I was reading how God spoke to me personally, is what they built with. The stones that they used to restore the walls were not stones that they had to go fetch somewhere else. They did not need to travel. The only thing that they came brought in from somewhere else was the wood. But you know what? The stones were the stones that were lying right there. The walls were broken down, but the stones that they built with were the rubble next to the walls. And the builders only had to pick up the stones, measure them, gauge the place in the wall, and place them in. And then they had to go back, take up a stone, measure the stone, find the place, and build it in. And what God has spoken to me is, you know what? When we start building, in this season of building, we build with what we have. What is at hand? Who are the people that's already in the house? And you are the living stones. Together we are the living stones. And this year is all about walking a road with one another, finding the place, picking up the living stone, gauging its place, and making sure that each and every living stone finds its place in God's house. That is how we build God a house. And you know what? As we take these living stones and we place them in its place, you know what? God will come and bring what is still needed. God will supply the rest. But you know what? We start here. I want to encourage you to start with the people that's sitting next to you and walk a road with them. Impart your life in them. I want to encourage you, even in this season as we go and you connect with people, first go look for those offended, backslidden Christians. People that were hurt in church. People that are disillusioned. If you go to your workplace, if you go to your homes, if you go to your family and your friends, go look for those stones that's already there, that has fallen out of place. And trust God for you to open your eyes to see the potential in them, the place that they have in the kingdom of God, and take them by hand and walk them back to God. And as you fill the wall with the material that's already there, you know what? Once you have succeeded in that, then you start going out there to the whosoever. And you start bringing them in. But start loving the people around you. I want to encourage you with that. It's like, I can't remember the person took over a great large missionary organization. And he was responsible for appointing the missionaries to go out. So everybody that wanted to become a missionary had to first be interviewed by him. And the way he decided whether somebody was ready or whether somebody was called to become a missionary was simply this. He asked them one question. He would always push them a piece of blank paper with a pen. And he would say, before I send you to Asia, to the Amazon, to wherever you want to go, just write me down the names of the people that you have brought to the Lord and discipled within in the past year. Just write me down the names of the people that you have led to the Lord and discipled the past year. And most people gave a blank page back. And his response was simply, but then you're not ready. If you cannot lead somebody to the Lord in your own culture, in your own language, how are you going to do that in a foreign country? In a foreign culture with a foreign language. And that principle, I almost want to say, Israel, so many times we try so hard to reach out to the lost, but we have not even developed the capacity to love those who are around us. To walk a road of discipleship with those that God has placed to our left and to our right. So I want to encourage you to start with the stones that God has placed to your left and to your right. In front of you, behind you. Invest in them, build in them. Allow God to impart in you as you impart in others so that you can grow in your love for God and love for others. And I can guarantee you, once you've walked the road with somebody, you know what? You'll have the confidence, the faith, and the ability to walk a road with somebody that does not know God. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do the one or the other. I'm just saying start here. Don't put too much pressure on yourself to try and reach the lost out there, but first focus on those that God has placed around you. Building God's house is investing in people. Kingdom of God is all about people. It's about pouring our lives in the purpose of God, not just for our life, but also in the purposes of God for our brothers and our sisters. So this year is not just about finding your place in the house of God. It's also about you walking a road with somebody else to find their place in the kingdom of God. There is nothing greater to walk a road with a person in the eyes of God. In John 13, verse 34 to 35, Jesus emphasized the point when he said, I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Isn't that powerful? Jesus rewrites the second command, the one that is equal, and says that this is the new command that I give to you, that I want you to remain in so that you can remain in me, is that you must love the way I have loved. And this is how the world will know that you are my disciple, by the way you love one another. By this the world will know. You see, love for the lost starts with love for the saved. If we can't cultivate love for the saved, we will struggle to cultivate love for the lost. So start with the saved. Start with your brothers and your sisters. Love those around you. Allow God to come and impart in you as you love those around you. So let us build God a house together with the people that He has gathered here. Practically, that simply means that each one of us should commit ourselves to walk a road with a person. Commit yourself to walk a road with another person. To walk this road in relationship with God. Jesus said something powerful here in Matthew 10 verse 42. He says, "And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." If you give somebody the smallest thing possible because he is my disciple, you will not lose your reward. Reward is not just for those who reach out to the lost in the far and distant nations. Reward is for every person that reaches out to the people next to them in love, because they belong to God, because God loves them. You know, the primary purpose of the Great Commission is not to go in all the world. The primary purpose of the Great Commission is not to give us a multi-entry visa to travel the world. The primary purpose of the Great Commission is to make disciples. Wherever. Wherever. Make disciples. Walk a road to somebody. Love them. Commit yourself to see the purpose of God for their life fulfilled. And you know what? As you walk a road with them and you invest your time, because it's going to cost you time. It's going to cost of yourself. And that's why God implores us to do it in love. We must do it in love. But you know what? In investing my time and my effort and myself into someone else to walk a road with them so that they can find their purpose in God's house. That is how I am building God's house. And God says, great is your reward. Invest in people. May our love be so clearly evident for one another that the world may know that we are his disciples. That always challenges me, because Scripture says it's not by our great miracles, it's not by our great teaching, but it's by our love for one another that the world will know that we belong to him. So before we move in the great teachings and the great miracles, let us first love one another. Let us commit ourselves to one another and walk a road with one another. Jesus said, greater love than this has no one to lay down your life for your friends. So I want to encourage you in this year, walk a road with somebody and build God a house. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. God, we thank you for the extent you went through to prove to us how much you loved us. That God, even though we were enemies, God, even though we betrayed you, God, even though our hearts, Lord, were sinful in rebellion against you and your word, God, your character, your nature, God, even through our sin, God, we rejected who you are, God. Yet, Lord, your love compelled you, God, to make a way for us that we may come into your presence without fear, without shame, God, that we can be free, God, of the consequence of our acts. And that you have removed everything that hindered us to meet with you. Through the death of your Son on the cross, God, you were willing to humble yourself. You were willing to become sin for us, God. You were willing to die for us. God, like your word says, by this, the love of God is known, that you sent your Son to die for us. And God, I pray, Lord, that as we embrace that love for us, for me, God, I pray that you will come and change me, that I will be able to love in the same way. God, I pray that you will change all of us, God, that you will open our eyes to see the living stones around us. Help us, God, to impart, to invest in the lives of people that you bring before us. God, help us, God, to see the kingdom, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see your building. God, help us to see people the way you see them. God, I pray that you will help us to love people the way you love them. God, and as we endeavor and commit ourselves, Lord, to build you a house, God, I pray that you will come and impart and invest in us more of yourself. God, as we love others, God, we grow in our love for you. We grow in our love for others. God, I pray that you will come and make us fruitful, that we may bear fruit that will bring glory to your Father, that we may bear fruit, God, that the world may know that we belong to you. God, I pray that you will come and change us as we build you a house. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming this morning. Go build God a house. You go pray this week about the people that God has placed around you. You commit yourself to someone in your heart before God and walk a road with him. If you're a more mature Christian, seek a younger Christian. If you're a younger Christian, seek a mature Christian. Be open to be walked with, so that you also one day can walk with somebody else. But commit yourself to that relationship so that you can grow and learn and love for and through one another in this week. And that is how we build God a house. And God will add to us as we love one another. Amen.